Welcome to the Workflow Show, episode 206. I'm Merrill Davis, alongside my co-host, Nick Gold, and today we have a very special guest.
Dave Clack.
Dave Clack.
CEO of Squarebox.
Hello.
Makers of the media asset management system, CatDV.
That's great. Welcome. I love that introduction.
You like that?
Yeah, very cool. Hi, guys.
We try to pump everybody up right before we break them down.
Nice. I shall look forward to that.
Only so we can build them back up in our own form.
It's the Chesapeake roller coaster.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. It's like training day with Chesapeake. But so welcome and thank you so much for joining us. I understand you've been doing quite a bit of traveling to get here, but we're very glad to have you here in Baltimore.
And it's a pleasure to be here. So, you know, we sell solely through our channel. And so being able to meet resellers directly, being able to meet some end customers directly is dead important to us as a company. So I've had a great time so far in the States. Hopefully it's going to continue.
How long have you been over here now?
So I came over about a week and a half ago, started off on the West Coast, San Francisco and LA, and then heading out to New York later this week.
Cool. So, you're getting it all.
Fitting it all in.
And you are in Hamden, in Baltimore, in our church of Chesapeake.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, we're funky. We keep it funky.
We're like a solid C+ over here. There's no question.
Good.
So I'm going to take it way back. I'm going to draw back 30,000 foot view. It was probably about 8, maybe even more years ago, I first gained awareness of Squarebox and CatDV. It was the very first year I was out at NAB. I had come on board Chesapeake only probably a year and a half earlier in that time frame. And for me, the thrust of that NAB, you know, you always kind of go to NAB with something in mind that you're trying to explore, you know, because otherwise you would just lose your mind in the chaos. Well, for me, that year was when I was first beginning to hunt out media asset management systems. I felt that this was kind of the next wave of the technologies that Chesapeake was going to embrace and make a big part of our portfolio and set of offerings. And it was an interesting year because it was Proximity Group, makers of Artbox, still existed as a separate platform before they were absorbed by Apple and turned into Final Cut Server, obviously only to be brutally murderized afterwards. But, you know, there was them, you know, a couple other platforms I saw, you know, might have checked out, you know, Avid Interplay or something. And then there's this little 10x10 booth down there in the South Hall. And there's this interesting pair of, you know, British guys sitting in it. And one is Rolf and one is Kevin. And, you know, they're like, check out this thing, CatDV. It's a MAM. It's a media management system. And I loved it. I really loved it. And let's be blunt, this was CatDV in a significantly more nascent state than it is today. And yet, I remember really gravitating towards it because it was simple, it was easy to use, and it had the tools that people needed to make it a viable media management platform, specifically really in a post-production environment. And you know, we've known Squarebox and CatDV ever since. And you've come onto the organization, what, about 2 years ago?
About 18 months or so, yeah.
Because I remember we first met, not at this past NAB, but I think the NAB before that.
Yeah.
And Squarebox has changed a bit since then. The technology has clearly changed a lot. We want to cover all this territory today. But maybe you can kind of relate yourself and you and your role there as CEO to, you know, the Squarebox that's, you know, been there for a while and that people have kind of known for a number of years now.
Yeah. Well, maybe a good place to start is kind of right at the beginning. So Squarebox has been in existence for, I think, about 12 or 13 years. CatDV for a large part of that. I think CatDV 1 came out 12 years ago. And CatDV was born out of the need of our founder, Rolf, to be able to find his stuff. So you think back 12 years ago and you think of the kind of technology that was around. You'd have Macs and PCs, and if you did something on one platform, it wouldn't work on another. There'd be the kind of the beginnings of digital cameras for stills, and Rolf being a great geek like many of us are in the industry, he had a big pile of those. And from the video perspective, then a whole pile of DV cameras. And so, you know, young family and lots of footage across a whole variety of devices, and Rolf just wanted to find his stuff and he couldn't. So, you know, he invented CatDV, Initially, CatDV was sold as a shareware product, really targeting the kind of consumer or maybe prosumer market. And then over time, he met some good folks and investigated the professional market and added all of the stuff that we've now got in the platform. So all of the collaboration, all of the automation tools, and all of the sophisticated video and media asset management that we've got in the product. So I think it's a nice little story, you know. And you know, for a large part of CatDV's existence, people were saying media asset management, what's media asset management? You know, I don't need this stuff. You know, I mean, folks were really only just moving to file-based workflows. A whole load of stuff was on tape.
Media asset management really just kind of reduces it all down to a buzzword that makes it sound goofy and superfluous when,
yeah.
I mean, we're huge believers in it, right? But you're right. Like, people are like, media asset management, oh, it sounds so amorphous.
And I think, you know, it's fair to say for the first few years of the company's existence, it was a product trying to find a need because folks didn't realize at that point that they needed a tool to help them find and reuse their content. You know, over time, people have started to put SANs in place and said the SAN was going to solve all their issues. And, you know, I've got myself a 40 terabyte SAN. How am I ever going to fill a 40 terabyte SAN up?
Like that.
And now today it's like, oh, yeah, exactly. I did that yesterday. And so folks are realizing that they really do have a problem. You know, and we've tried to look around and try and find some research to try and quantify some of this stuff. And there's a couple of surveys that we use in some of our marketing that show or try to quantify how much time and money people waste looking for media. And, you know, some of the numbers that are in some of these surveys show that the average media professional wastes $8,000 per year on finding and looking for media. That an average media professional takes about 64 attempts to find stuff in a week, and they only ever find it 60-odd% of the time. So, you know, more than a third of the time, they don't even find what they're looking for.
You are giving me heartburn. Yeah. Like, you were giving me heartburn. I'm just sitting here thinking. I mean, because these are all things that in my professional career I can imagine and like always think about. And it's such an interesting thing when you think about how could this it's such a critical part of the workflow. It's like the backbone in many ways to really what is required to get a return on investment, what's required to give a deliverable out the door, you know. Like, how have we basically gone 10 years with our heads in the sand?
Well, I think the problem is that the speed at which things went from videotape-based workflows to tapeless and just file-based was so quick in the scheme of things. And I think people in post and loggers and folks like that, like, somehow thought that literal paper cuts and spreadsheets at best of log notes were somehow going to carry them through in this era where we're now 2 to 3 to 4 orders of magnitude of just more media that every individual involved in production and post-production is dealing with in a hands-on way at any given moment. And like, I don't know if the industry has done a particularly good job in always showing people that this is the modern equivalent of organization that you always did and you always realized was integral to your workflow. But this is the new version of that. This is the 21st century's version of log notes and paper cuts and that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, what's interesting, I just as an aside for that, is even today, when we visit our clients on a regular basis, I think certainly part of the front end of the conversation about something like CatDV is, well, do you have the resource and the wherewithal within your organization to make this sort of thing work, right? You know, there's not even necessarily, and it's coming, but there's not even necessarily like a full consideration for the skill set and the body, the salary of somebody who basically runs the ship of media asset management within an organization.
Well, I think it's crazy that in a lot of colleges, in their communications and video programs, you know, most of them probably don't even train their students to use a MAM. And wow. It's like, it's a highly marketable skill right now.
We've got a program going on in the States, which is just in its early stages, but we're being taught as a module on one of these film school university courses because And in fact, they came to us because the folks running the course recognized it's a critical part of any media workflow these days. And, you know, it's not just that we have to manage more media. It's we have to get it out in so many different formats for the internet as well as for the kind of traditional mechanisms. And the time requirements and the kind of turnaround, is so the demands are so much faster than they ever were. And no one's got any more money. So the only way you're going to be able to survive when there's more demand for more content and there's less time to do it and there's less people to do it is to be able to reuse and repurpose the stuff you've already got to make high quality new programming.
And automate the hell out of as many processes as you can so you're freeing up the human bodies that you do have to do things that require a human body.
Yeah, you know, I've been with some folks this week and just hearing the stories of how they do their transcode simply to keep their various systems happy with the right footage in the right formats at the right stage. They seem to have like a half-time person whose job is simply babysitting a process of getting the high-res camera stuff transcoded into ProRes and then maybe getting an H.264. It's not a complicated workflow, but it's taking a person half of their working week and, you know.
And a workstation and all that other stuff, right? You know, that's another workstation that somebody can't use for, I don't know, like cutting the work.
These folks are using an edit station.
Yeah.
So it's not even, it's not just even just a PC with a good amount of kit in it. It's a whole work environment for a team, you know.
So this has been kind of the landscape that's evolved over the last decade or so. And this has been, you know, the same period of time that Squarebox has been there and very actively involved. What's the rest of the story as far as how they developed as a company and the underlying, you know, Cat TV product line? And then how does that relate to you coming on board? And what's your background with Rolf and the company? And, you know, how did you get folded in here as the CEO along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. So as the company was getting bigger, Rolf, our founder, realized that he needed some new skills on the team that he didn't have. Rolf is an excellent technician and a product visionary, but at the same time recognized that the firm to be successful needed some additional leadership, you know, someone to be able to work with resellers and distributors and customers to get additional insight about where the market was going and to work with other vendors to ensure that CatDV existed as part of an ecosystem. And so a large part of my role at CatDV is clearly working with our sales and distribution channel. But the other big part is working with our manufacturer partners. And in fact, we spent a big pile of effort in the last year refining our marketing relationships. So when I talk about marketing relationships, it's dead easy for me to go out and do some handshaking and get a nice press release and some contract and NDA signed with a partner who sits in the asset in the ecosystem somewhere. But that's kind of useless. You know, customers need to have confidence that CatDV is going to work. And marketing is just the very start of that process. So we've put a big pile of effort. If you look at the CatDV website, we relaunched that about a year ago. And we've been adding content, you know, 2 or 3 articles a month, which just show how to do some really cool stuff with CatDV. When I first joined Squarebox, I was told that CatDV is one of the best products for integration with other third-party hardware, software, and services in the business. And I said, great, how do we do that? And they said, you've got to talk to one of these 3 individuals in the world that can do this stuff. And they said, there's one in this continent, there's another one in this continent, and there's another one in another continent. Like, great, that's not really going to scale, is it? And so what we're trying to do is to share kind of best practices and some of the kind of technical detail with our resellers and customers, not only to show people how to use CatDV, but to really build confidence that we're part of this ecosystem. And if, you know, frankly, when folks buying CatDV, they're buying best of breed. They're not going to the kind of one-stop shop that'll sell you your likes of Avid, that'll sell you everything you could possibly need for your thing.
This is your focus.
Right.
This is all we do. It's
absolutely
just the software play.
Yeah.
It is specifically, you know, the MAM and automation componentry integrating with other things, you know, in a proven fashion.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, I would say, Is it fair to say maybe outside of Interplay, just because they've been around a while and obviously Avid's in a lot of shops, but you know, other than them, you guys probably have the next largest number of users using it.
We're bigger than Interplay.
Really?
So you can buy CatDV for $100 from the website. And many people do. We've got
the desktop version.
Exactly. Standalone Cat DV. Very cut down, but, you know, dead useful. You know, your wedding videographer, your kind of hobbyist at home.
Sure.
2,500 folks have that. In terms of our enterprise sales through our channel, we, I think just after Christmas, we hit 900 enterprise customers. And at last count, that was bigger than the Interplay number that I'd seen.
Congrats.
So
that's great.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure Avid will come around and say, actually, we've got bigger. But, you know, that's based on the data that I've got right now. So, yeah.
And how did your personal path cross with Squareboxes? And,
you know,
and what was your background? Have you been doing this stuff a while? Or is this...
Yeah, so Rolf and I go way back. And that really helps when trying to steer a small organization and grow a small organization, because there's a whole pile of trust that exists out of the gate. And so Rolf and I had worked in other businesses, I think 3 or 4 other businesses in the past. And we knew each other, we trusted each other, and we had that relationship. My background's not in the industry. My background is in technology consulting and technology leadership, I guess. And that's taken me to a whole heap of interesting domains. So most recently, I was working in the City of London on a financial derivatives exchange, doing some really cool stuff with high performance computing.
That
and
just happened to crash
trading.
The global economy. I mean, you know,
well, no,
just...
actually, no.
Technical difficulties here, folks.
For a pivot in my career.
We were the good guys. We were the good guys trying to prevent all that nastiness happening. But
don't you know the good guys very rarely win?
Well, and that kind of brings me on to why I've joined Squarebox. You know, that's a neat interlude thing. So Rolf talked to me about the opportunity at Squarebox, what he needed, and that kind of fit the kind of stuff that I do and the way I like to work.
God, if you thought that the media technology industry was going to be a breath of fresh air.
Well, yeah, you know, you meet some dead interesting characters in this business, and it's been a blast so far. But, you know, the stuff that really turned me on to Cat DV and made me think that it was worth joining. So, small company, but with big aspirations, with great growth trajectory, some great customers. And then when I looked across who was using Cat DV and where we could take it to make it even more useful, then there was a couple of angles. I could see, you know, our history was in the kind of typical post market. And we had a great following and a set of folks that really liked Cat DV in that market. But then I could see another set of folks in industry and in other organizations that just have video. And so we have customers in some of the biggest churches in the world. We have customers in adult entertainment. We have customers in documentary and nature and politics.
I'm curious what the metadata schema of the adult entertainment Cat DV database might look like.
Yeah, it was quite comprehensive. It was. We had a support ticket in recently, and we had to take a look at their catalog schema. Yep, everything you could possibly imagine, and then some more. I think that was.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to distract me here.
Shame about being on the East Coast. We just don't have that segment of the industry to cater to.
Florida.
I try to avoid Florida. No, well, no offense to the Floridian clients we do have.
Hey, if there's anybody who works in adult industry in Florida, we're happy to engage you as a client.
Absolutely.
We have folks so all over the map, you know. It's yep. we enable all forces equally. I consider us like the Swiss in World War II or whatever, right? You know.
Very cool.
So you're in all of these different places, and I mean, what you're saying really relates to this vision that I have myself of, you know, video. Yes, it's you know, it's a product. There's the entertainment industry. You know, we just had the Oscars a few nights ago. Clearly, there will always be very highly professionally produced content that is a product unto itself, or a means of selling advertising or whatever. But
yeah,
but it something else has happened. That the accessibility of video and video technology has really turned it into just a mass communications medium, along with the rise of the internet. There's no, I mean, if you write people and you maybe like this podcast, record audio or use, you know, audio recording technologies for marketing purposes or just communication or training or what have you. I mean, video is now just an inherent part of what you're doing to communicate.
Yeah, it really is.
And so it's not just the entertainment industry or the post industry.
No,
it's
absolutely. Anyone with a marketing team, you know, we have retail customers, financial customers, insurance customers, a railroad, several railroad users. You know, so folks, and media isn't just for marketing. A whole heap of this stuff is for training and education. So one of our biggest financial customers has an obligation to be able to demonstrate they've trained their customers to be competent to buy their products so that we don't get too much more global meltdown. And they use CatDV to be able to look after and distribute this content to their end consumers.
As a matter of compliance?
Compliance. Oh. Exactly.
And if you ever get the sense that they're really doing a bad job of that, you know, on the DL, let me know who they are so I can start shorting a lot of things.
Okay. there's another railroad that we were talking about this week, and they use theirs for all their health and safety videos and all the health and safety legislation around around that kind of mechanical engineering exercise is really important. You know, folks' lives are at risk if you don't get this stuff right.
And they use as CatDV. A regular rider of the train, I absolutely back that up.
CatDV saves lives. I love it.
CatDV saves lives. You know, actually, some of the things I really like. We're quite big in the charity sector. So Greenpeace, Oxfam, Save the Children. There's a lobbying organization that we're working with, and they do a whole load of citizen journalism. They equip their field journalists with a whole load of covert recording equipment, go to some of the most dangerous places in the world, smuggle a whole load of content back out, and then use CatDV for their governance process to prove this content is legitimate and it hasn't been faked, which is a very difficult thing to do. And then they send it on to Associated Press and CNN and BBC, and they get about three pieces of news syndicated globally every week.
CatDV, saving lives and keeping the world free.
Hey, I quite like that.
It's
indeed.
I mean, yeah. It also helps folks to make money, I think. That's the other one.
That was in parentheses.
Occasionally a desirable byproduct.
Right.
So a question for you about the naming origin and sort of the name of CatDV as it stands now. So CatDV, that is digital video, right? The DV, or what did it?
Catalog, digital video. CatDV is all about cataloging your digital assets or digital video. So that's kind of DV with a lowercase d and a lowercase v. But if you go back to the kind of history,
it was a
file-based capital D, capital V format that came off the tapes that Rolf was trying to manage. So that's the history. And we've kind of repurposed the name a little bit as the industry's matured, and so have we.
Yeah, and I think catalog is I run into a little more often with British firms who are in this space, you know.
Spelled properly.
Is that like a UE kind of thing going on?
Yeah, CAT.
I'm baffled.
Yeah.
It's all right.
You know,
they just use the front bit. It doesn't matter, you know.
So CatDV is interesting because there are, as you're speaking to, so many different modalities in which someone might use it.
Yeah.
And it's you know, one of the things I really like about the way that you guys market it and sell it is that you can, if you choose to, really take a a la carte approach to creating, or in our case, selling or recommending a CatDV solution to someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I need this many seats of this module with this particular user interface, and I need one of these, that's the automation engine, and I need this capability, and I need to support these few, you know, and you can really piecemeal it very specifically around your organization's requirements. But to be blunt, when we often have, you know, gone into an organization that's just beginning to embrace this technology and to on day one launch a MAM and automation solution for them that's going to do exactly everything they're ever going to want it to do, like for years ahead, that's impossible.
Yeah.
Because people start to only start, you know, seeing the light of what it can even do. And so you guys also have these bundles, which I adore, because there's a few of them where I can say, you know what, this gives you a nice assortment of the capabilities of the overall solution that meet your headcount requirements today, but we can easily scale that pretty granularly moving forward. It has enough of the other core modules where even if you don't super emphasize their use today, they're there for you, ready to go, ready to scale. And again, we can scale those elements up granularly as well. So, You know, I really like that approach. I think it works really well for a lot of our clients. As you said, you can start with the desktop version for a single individual. And the other thing I love, you can start with that, build catalogs, generate your metadata schema, be tagging the heck out of things, and you can literally take the metadata that you're generating with that simple desktop version and scale up to the enterprise version of CatDV and ingest that metadata along with the assets, and now it's a work group or organization or potentially even enterprise level, and you didn't waste any time or effort or energy previously, even when you were there just experimenting with it.
That's right. So CatDV operates at a variety of points in the market. I think at $100, we are the cheapest MAM in existence. So we can start small, and then the kind of data formats can scale with you. And so CatDV doesn't really run out of legs. So there are some products that if you make the wrong choice, they'll get to a certain scale or size or distribution or camera format or whatever it is that you suddenly find it doesn't do it. And then you're left with a decision about, well, I better just move to a new product. With CatDV, then you can start with one seat. Some of our biggest customers did that. And then grow up to hundreds of seats and thousands sometimes of web users without having to massively redesign your workflow or massively redesign the metadata that you're recording. And so I think for us, I think it leaves us in a unique position. Folks often ask us where we fit in terms of competition. And we still aim to be the most cost-effective media asset management solution. There are some products that are kind of very simple and do overlap with us at the low end. Those kind of products, it's kind of simple to make a simple product look simple. I guess our challenge is we've got a powerful product, and we try with our interfaces to hide away that complexity. It was interesting you said at the beginning, you know, I think we have some cool interfaces, and over time we'll have even more cool interfaces for engaging with CatDV.
Now, you mentioned there might be instances where a user sort of finds a limitation within a media asset manager and maybe related to a codec.
Yeah.
Now, I know you guys are working on codec support forward-looking, correct?
Completely. So one of the things that folks like about CatDV is that we try to handle whatever inbound media you throw at us. And so that's really cool for lots of people. They don't want to have to say, oh, I've got a drive full of stuff. I'm just going to ingest it and then wait for a day before I can actually take a look at it. They want to take a look now, and they want to be able to start sorting and logging immediately. And we know folks like that. So we're doing a pile of work to improve that, and there'll be some great announcements around that at NAB. But we find that even with some massively high-end products, so we're in a piece of work at the moment where a customer has got completely fed up with their Dalet system. And so Dalet is at the ultimate other end of the market from us in terms of cost. You know, I mean, have you got $1 million
and
drop?
Yet I always seem to hear it followed by the phrase, and yet someone is totally sick of it and pulling their hair out.
And so the key reason that this customer is considering a move is that they can throw a pile of formats at CatDV, and we'll try and play them, and we very successfully do in the vast majority of cases. Whereas, you know, for the kind of interplays and for the Dalets of the world, there is some real lockdown on the kind of formats you can work with, and there's plenty of transcodes going on to make that stuff work. And in the lower cost part of the market as well, you know, a lot of these products are based on, oh, we have to transcode everything to H.264 to be able to do anything with it. Like, we take a different approach. Folks don't naturally work with Dalet's favorite codec or Avid's favorite codec or H.264. Folks shoot on video cameras, and we try and handle video camera footage.
I learned literally this past week, someone I know who was just playing around with the Dalet system as a little consulting gig, and he tells me, Nick, you have to lock the system to a frame rate. And I said, well, what do you mean you have to lock the system to a frame rate? He's like, it won't handle footage that isn't in the standard frame rate of the system. I'm like, ooh.
I didn't
like
know that.
One big, terrible FCP timeline right there.
I know, right? From days of yore. Like, I mean, I'm like, but it's your MAM. You may be having to deal with many different types of formats and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's
by virtue of design, you should.
Yeah. So back to your point, though. So some of the stuff that's going to be coming for CatDV 11 is going to include some new player technology that will increase the number of formats that we can play natively. But more importantly for me, then it gives us an architecture where we can plug in new players as new technologies come out. We're watching with interest. We've always been one of the close partners of Apple. In fact, when Final Cut 10 came out, we were the first folks to be able to share metadata between Final Cut 7 and Final Cut 10.
You were the first.
Even before Apple.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
They recognize that too. They like us and we like them. So we're watching with interest what's going to happen with the new Mac Pros and Final Cut X.1 and native 4K workflows and what happens with that. All that technology is available to us now through the APIs that Apple provide with Final Cut X.1. We're not there for CatDV 11 to do a plug-in for that stuff. But the door is open for that kind of integration. We're watching with interest, you know, who uses these kind of native 4K workflows.
Indeed.
And how does this hardware work out and how do you get stuff to it? It looks very cool sitting on a desk, but, you know, what about the rest of the storage and the networking and the archive and
stuff
like
that? Well, and it's good. And again, one of the things we always look for in developer partners are folks who, yes, there always need to be features and new features and things that make people's day-to-day moments of their lives easier. But paying also attention to that architecture side of things and maybe making investments in development time in things that are going to allow your product to be, you know, viable to the client 3 or 5 years from now. So yeah, they don't have to look at a wholesale replacement of their platform, but the platform itself is going to gain levels of sophistication and modernity that allow it to work in the world of 5 years from now and not just today. So
modernity, I like it. That was a goodie.
I went to college and stuffs. So we've talked about that, and that's obviously taking place in the main CatDV, you know, user interface application that people are interacting with. But obviously, CatDV has these other components. One of them, I always loved the name, the worker node.
Yeah,
you know, it is
very hammer and sickle.
Exactly right. I feel like it's like brought to you by Joseph Stalin. Like, and the
yeah,
worker.
There's some red we could do with the branding on that, isn't
seriously,
there?
Yeah. Man. Seriously, although now might not be the right time.
No,
Ukraine stuff and whatever.
No.
But with the worker node, this is of course CatDV's automation component, automation and the automating of workflows that a human shouldn't necessarily need to be involved with every step of the way. That other main portion of a MAM system, in addition to the search and tagging technologies, of course. Tell me, how are people using Worker Node, and especially in some of these more complex or scaled out environments? Because it's something that we know how to work with very closely. We've done a lot of very interesting integrations between Worker Node and transcoding software platforms, Worker Node and, you know, other types of notification systems, Worker Node and archival software. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that you can plug into CatDV, and a lot of the times these things are happening through Worker Node. I'm curious just to see what you've gleaned from use cases as far as like just some neat stuff that your clientele are doing with that.
Yeah, and no, absolutely. So CatDV Worker Node, we try to design the CatDV Worker a bit like Microsoft Excel. It kind of gets people coding without knowing they're coding. And the CatDV Worker Nodes gets people doing some pretty complicated scripting and workflow design without kind of realizing they're doing it. So CatDV Worker Node is one of the many APIs that exist around CatDV. So you can control CatDV using the Worker Node, changing metadata, reporting, and such like. The Worker Node can control other stuff. It's got a load of hooks for command line integration and XML integration with other stuff. And then it adds to things like our REST API for further automation integration and new user interfaces, and our server API, which lets folks extend the functionality inside CatDV and CatDV's web client. So we've got a big pile of these APIs. The Worker is a really important one. So stuff that people are doing with the Worker Node. So CatDV is a great transcoder, but at the same time, if some folks have other investment in other hardware or software technologies or have particular speed requirements, then our transcoder might well not be the right thing for them. And so we've got some tutorials up on the website that just expose some of these integrations. So we've got one for integration with Episode, another one with transcodes with Redline, one of the Red tools, another one for transcoding with FFmpeg. And we know a load of folks have integrated with their hardware-based transcode is mainly using the XML integration. You drop an XML that says, I want to transcode these things in these formats, put them in this place. And then, you know, this is your typical integration with a hardware.
And so they're building those transcode profile XMLs in CatDV using one of the tabs maybe that they've customized for an asset.
Yeah.
And then have like a push button automation to send that XML to the transcoder along with the asset, encode these parameters, maybe even like encoding some of the delivery location information and, you know, one push button publishing, which is...
Right.
You know, 20, 25 different steps that are all happening, and a user just has to check a checkbox.
Absolutely.
And
so JPL, NASA, used CatDV to catalog the history of space science for the world. And my major was in physics, and so that is just so cool for me to be able to say.
Yeah, of course, it's only like the last, 50 years versus like just the history of the world, which is like 7 or 10.
You got to start somewhere.
Hey, you can't diss NASA, man. What they do?
Well,
is
when they start flying manned spaceships again, I'll be a little nicer.
Oh, you can dig out that astronaut suit from back in the day.
We love NASA. We love
it. Yeah. So you know they have their history of space science in CatDV. You can go into CatDV. You know, Voyager's leaving the solar system, or has left the solar system now. But you can say, show me stuff about Voyager, and it'll show you it being built. It'll show it passing kind of the major planet. Any footage that was made at the time. And so it's a hugely valuable thing. What they do, when they put together their rough cut in CatDV, they'll then say, right, I want to transcode that. And they'll automatically transcode it into 12 different formats for giving to the global broadcasters through to putting out in, you know, small kind of iPod-friendly or iPhone-friendly videos, so about 12 formats. And CatDV will orchestrate the transcode of all that stuff. A worker can do that. It can also then send that stuff elsewhere. So we've got an FTP file catalyst workflow documented on our website. And we know a lot of people use it with a Sparrow to be able to just ship this content around after you've made it.
Blam.
So
go all UDP on that stuff.
I wonder out loud if the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the video version, if that would run CatDV over time.
Probably. They're like, damn this legacy code from the year 1999.
No. Well, you know.
No, they'll be like,
good housekeeping
thank God.
Is important.
Thank God for this code that's scaled and they kept, you know, bringing into the realm of modernity.
Right. Well, you know, it's whoever has to asset catalog some Vogon poetry, I suppose.
Seriously. So.
Yeah.
So we've talked about Worker Node. We've obviously chatted a bit about some of the interesting stuff going on with the new main, you know, CatDV application. You know, the other side of CatDV is the web client. And, you know, I always try to describe to people, you know, media asset management as far as the thing you as the end user are interacting with generally falls under one of maybe two camps. There's the fairly intense tool with a lot of built-in capabilities, often very oriented around the needs of the post-production expert, the creative. I need to find things to bounce into a timeline in this NLE, or I need to open it up in Finder so I can bring this selection of stuff into an After Effects project, and they're going in and out. You know, the MAM is probably up and running at all times, and it's just stuff bouncing back and forth, and they're producing new content using the MAM essentially as a tool, as part of that process. And those folks have a lot of pretty specific needs that can tie into all aspects of CatDV. Then there are some other users that often the ability to search for things or maybe even kick off some of these automation processes and delivery processes or do review and approval stuff just so they have a little window into it and, yeah, that looks good. Here's a couple of notes and a few markers on, oh, no, tweak that and hold that 3 seconds longer. You know, they need a lighter experience. A lot of them want it on a web browser versus a full-on application that they have to launch. They need it to be very simplified. They obviously want it to be supported on modern web browser technology, so different types of platforms, maybe even mobile, can support it fluidly and elegantly. So you guys have this thing called the CatDV web client, which is different than the enterprise client is the full client application.
Yeah.
And tell me about what's been going on with that, because you know, that serves the needs of this whole other crowd of users. And then again, a thing I really like about CatDV is you inherently have these two tiers of interface, whereas a lot of the other platforms maybe specialize in one and rarely want to get their hands dirty in another one. So yeah. Tell me about Web Client, where you see it's going, some of the love that you guys have been giving it, and where, you know, where we can take it and expect it to go, and how that might serve people.
Yeah, and when we talk about the Web Client, actually even that kind of shards down into two different things, because we have the Web Client and then we have the Web Services clients. And so the Web Client is a cut-down version of CatDV that very deliberately has a CatDV look and feel to it, much less on the screen, and a cut-down piece of functionality. But we did a refresh of this last year, and we added things like upload, download, more sophisticated searching, subclipping, markers, and simple kind of cut lists. At the same time, we added the ability to integrate with our server API so you can kick off some extension workflows in CatDV. And that's pretty cool. That's getting a really nice reaction. And it really was, it was probably a little bit overdue in terms of refresh, and it's kind of filled out the product quite a lot. And so I think that is a really, really good addition to the CatDV stable. But at the same time, and almost more importantly, the thing that drives that is our Web Services API. And our Web Client is the first implementation that now uses that Web Services API. And we've got a few more. So we have an iPhone and iPad application. In fact, we have two. One's called CatDV Review and one's called CatDV Approve. The CatDV Review is a read-only version of CatDV with all the same security and all that kind of stuff, and you can just look at the metadata and the footage in CatDV. Really simple. The Approve application just lets you change status and put some notes in for the footage that you're allowed to see. And those are both written using the Web Services API. And then we also ship with a couple of example applications that really show the art of the possible. They're probably not completely ready for prime time, but they show the kind of thing you can do in CatDV. And it just looks a bit, you know, one of them is a looks a bit like YouTube. You can choose a selection of clips. You can see a small selection of the metadata. And in fact, an application was written for the London Paralympics going back to 2012 that used an early version of this Web Services API to be able to show the footage from the Paralympics on a web page that didn't look anything like CatDV. It had somebody else's branding on it entirely, so that the global broadcaster could see and then order, the ordering was by telephone, but could see and then order footage from the day's worth of events. And so, you know, we believe that folks should be able to interact with CatDV in the way that really suits the way they work. So in the CatDV desktop clients, if you've got a logger, the logger will only see the logging page. And that'll carry across to the CatDV web clients. And then other applications or other apps can be written, other applications or user interfaces could be written that suit particular users. A producer wants to see different stuff from an editor.
What is the coding skill set that maybe an organization's web team would need to have in order to start delving into the API documentation for the web services?
Yeah, so it's a REST API, and it's a web services and web development skills. And part of the reason we've invested so much in these APIs is so that it makes it easier to extend CatDV, and it makes it easier for us to grow the product. It makes it easier for us to grow our development team. I think the development team is getting on for doubled in the last year. And rather than everyone having to learn everything about every part of CatDV, these APIs let us and our partners, whether that be customers, retailers, distributors, or independent integrators, write their own stuff. And I was down with one of our bigger customers this week, looking at what they'd done with their web integration with CatDV for many of their major channels. And it's incredible. Doesn't look anything like CatDV, but CatDV is the engine behind all this stuff that manages security, manages the assets, manages the metadata. It's a great implementation.
Cool. Very cool. And again, I think with MAM systems in general, there's as many of those cool stories as there are people who are using a particular platform, because they end up becoming different things, and you emphasize different uses or tools within them, you know, depending on a particular project, a particular workflow, how your organization works, the type of products you're doing. I mean, CatDV, I think, can have a role in an organization that's, you know, churning out 24-second commercials, or, you know, small little training videos, or people who are doing a documentary, a full feature-length documentary, who maybe have a, you know, giant catalog of just footage they've been accumulating for several years, or, talking just about the reams of footage. Gosh, reality TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the clients that we deal with, we've probably talked about this before, hundreds to one shooting ratios. You know, 400 or 500 hours for every hour that makes it onto television. And they have to sift through it and find the stuff that makes an entertaining program. And
search for flipped table.
Yeah. And honestly, based on the quality of a lot of reality TV, it seems like they could certainly use more tools that allow them to more efficiently find better content.
Right.
Search for terminology.
Except for our clients who make the best reality television out there.
Well, of course. Here's the thing about the best reality television. It can still be kind of trashy. That's what's so great.
Well, it's true. It's indeed true. I mean, kind of like the Oscars when she took that selfie and it was so clearly like a paid promotional thing from Samsung. I mean, it was like fun, but kind of just skeezy.
You feel dirty afterwards?
It was trashy. It was like really direct product placement at the Oscars.
It's pretty amazing. Ugh. You know, just imagine what advertising will look like in the future. And imagine what advertisers could do cataloging their assets if they're generating, if they're, you know.
And we're speaking a little facetiously here, but it's interesting, right? Because I've had a lot of conversations recently with different people, and getting them to realize that the media that they generate as part of their jobs isn't just the stuff they need to get the job done, but it's their inventory. You know, it's the product they have. And as you said earlier, Dave, you know, the ability to repurpose, you know, keep that catalog available for maybe your own clientele and, you know, recognize new revenue streams by allowing them portals into their own content, if you will. So they can, you know, wouldn't it be great? Set up a web client login for your client that, you know, maybe you're a small firm and you've got, you know, five biggies that you work with. And it's like, you know, here's your catalog, guys. You can't see anyone else's. You can search for things. We're going to give you a pared down metadata set. You can look for all of your, you know, talking head events, all of this, all of that, all the commercials we produced for you. And then your own marketing team can just have their own little login and get in there.
We have folks doing that with CatDV. You know, we have some folks that deploy CatDV into the cloud. We have some folks that, in fact, there's a service company that acts as an archive and a storage service for their customers. They use CatDV to be able to present that stuff out to segregate different customers from each other.
Muy interesante. I'd love for you to, you know, talk a little bit more about these cloud-based use cases. So you have folks who have enterprise installations of CatDV that are running on virtualized servers in the cloud?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, CatDV can run, one of CatDV's strengths is its flexibility, so we don't mind whether it's installed on OS X, on Windows, or on Linux, and so the CatDV server can happily run there. Then, yeah, so one of our bigger customers, they've got an Amazon Web Services thing going on. They use Aspera to accelerate data into, I'm going to get the terminology wrong, but is it the S2 storage of part of...
That's good enough.
Yeah, it sounds good. And so CatDV runs on the web, and they use the upload and download in the web client. You can show the CatDV proxies, web proxies, in a standard CatDV desktop client too, and so they're quite happily running CatDV.
So when you're connecting with the CatDV desktop client, you're just navigating to the cloud-based location, and everything else is presenting itself as though it were a local install.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh well, gosh, it's almost like you could offer CatDV as a service.
You know, we think about it.
Cat sass.
Cat's ass.
Sassy cat.
I think we might not call it cat's ass. I mean, maybe the dog's biscuits or something.
Right, dog's biscuits.
Yeah. I've lost my thread, I'm afraid, guys.
Software as a service, or otherwise known as cat's ass.
Cat's ass, I think, isn't currently on the agenda. You know, we believe we are experts in writing media asset management software, and we have a part of things that we want to do and we are doing with the product, and we want to stick to those things where we think we can be the best in the world at doing them. I think that would be moving to software as a service would be a big step for us. It could be a good money earner, but I think we need, as a company, we need some focus. And at the moment, our focus is all about making great asset management products.
Well, on point, man.
And the reality is, that's why he's the CEO, people. the reality is, you're also enabling other people to turn those services on. And if there's really nothing stopping third parties from creating those services themselves.
Absolutely. You know, we changed our price list last year, and we the unlimited web client was always a price on application
question mark.
And we decided that that was should change, and so now that's a I think that's $17,995. But that means that a customer can put that on a machine, and the bigger the machine, the more users it can support. And that's your total investment to support however many hundreds of casual web customers that, or customer casual web users that you want to interact with CatDV.
And if you want to do smaller numbers of web clients, the web client specifically, you guys license in terms of simultaneous users, correct?
That's right. So our smallest web bundle, I guess, is a couple of web sessions. And depending on usage, that could still support many tens of users. You know, if you've got a few folks that only kind of look every once in a while, say you're an advertising agency and you're delivering some proofs, you might not be working on that many accounts at the same time. And a couple might well be fine for you. But then
and if you realize if you hit that edge, you call Chesapeake Systems.
And we sort you out.
We send you a quote for your additional web clients and bada ding, bada boom.
Sign picture,
all
Dave.
All is good.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
You know, if that will help, then I'd
Black
even do that.
I think so. You're a charming guy.
Oh, thank you very much.
You've got the accent. Us Americans just think it's cool. And
doesn't work so well in the UK.
Might work
We've
for you,
got
Nick.
Them.
You gotta travel over there, see how the ladies like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Proper American.
I'm not known for my voice. It's amazing that I'm doing an audio podcast. Actually,
we all have faces for radio here. There's no question.
Yeah.
But so CatDV
and voices for Braille, right? Yeah.
But we you know, CatDV, I think if I could make an observation about the product, certainly over the, you know, the landscape, things are different now. You know, I hear 4K about as much as I heard FireWire back when, you know, we sort of kicked off that cycle.
Yeah.
And it's almost like HD, the cycle of HD was half the cycle I think I expected it to be, with 4K coming up right here. And
3 years from now, you'll be talking about support for 3D environments for the Oculus Rift virtual reality headset or whatever. 4K, whatever.
Whatever.
We live in the video now.
We take a
we'll integrate the flux
and
capacitor
we use,
later.
Like, yeah, exactly. Oculus Rift and call it a day, right? But, and Nick, you had made a comment that was really on point, which was that, you know, our transition from a tape or even film-based workflow to a tapeless workflow, like, happened like that. I mean, like, and I'm not that old, and I feel old thinking about the transition time between when it happened and where we are now. You know, just it speaks volumes to just how quickly the marketplace is changing. But, you know, one of the things that I've observed is that the foundations of those marketplaces, they really serve as anchors over many several decades. So, like, CatDV is an example that I would say in many cases – they're sort of the Media Asset Manager 1.0. I mean, they were the first kids in the block. I mean, they're the one that, you know, if I'm talking to a guy about asset management, it's 9 times out of 10, the first asset manager that they mention is CatDV. And it's actually, it makes me feel very good, especially from an editor perspective, to know that CatDV is aware that while they were the first guy on the block, that they're really keeping their sword sharp. Mm-hmm. And continue to develop in what I call burgeoning areas of media asset management. You know, there are things that we talked about today that I know other asset managers are tackling. And it makes me feel good because I know in my heart I have a confidence level in CatDV that aligns with the feature set you're discussing.
Oh, that's cool. And, you know, I think that's great feedback for us. And I think one of the other things that we think is vitally important. One of the things I say to my guys, actually, is I never want anyone to not buy CatDV because it doesn't work with their favorite flavor of storage or archiving. And so another cool thing that we are doing at the moment is working through a partnership to provide better integrations with many of the world's best archive companies. So we've got a couple out of the gate through this partnership. So there's the Quantum Store Next integration and the ASG Atempo integration with CatDV that provides API level integrations with those products for very efficient and very safe archiving, plus a whole load of feedback and status stuff.
So, and when you say Store Next, you're talking about Quantum Storage Manager, correct?
I am, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
The HSM and policy based archive system. And, you know, that's great because we find that archival needs are often a good, I don't want to say Trojan horse for MAM in an organization, but they're a good first run use case, you know, because again, to take MAM as a set of technologies into an organization and just be like, man, you know, drink the MAM Kool-Aid, like this can change everything, like that becomes really overwhelming for people. And if we can say, listen, what about finding things in your archives more easily and moving things from a spinning disk tier to tape and giving you a very useful front end to do that, that gives you the ability to view proxies and search for metadata, people are like, great, that's a great first step.
Let me browse my stuff, whether it be on nearline, offline, farline, archive, whatever you want to call it. Being able to just view that stuff wherever it is one of CatDV's biggest strengths. And I think probably 80% of our customers use CatDV as a window onto their storage, however they happen to have their storage. They can also use CatDV and the worker to manage policies about how long things stay in various tiers and all that kind of good stuff. But absolutely, it's crucial for us. And so that's why we've done this partnership. We've got the first two. At NAB, we're going to have a big pile more.
Well, it does sound like NAB, which is only a month away from now.
I know. We have got our folks. They're coding so fast.
It's going to be exciting, though. A lot of cool announcements. And gosh, I just can't wait to get out of the snow and the cold.
So go to Vegas.
I love NAB. I love seeing people like you and a lot of people we only see a couple times a year, maybe. But, you know, it's a pretty overwhelming experience. But after this winter, man, I am just like, put me in the desert now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll just hang out in Vegas for a few extra weeks.
Sure.
Nothing bad will happen.
Just stay out there, man. I got you covered. I got you covered.
A few weeks in Vegas, I think, could turn you a little twisted, man.
Three months later, I get a phone call on a Sunday afternoon from Nick. Where have you been, man?
Well, listen, are there any parting words that you want to tell people who are maybe considering a MAM platform and, you know, just from your point of view? And, you know, I think you know, we take a very agnostic look at MAMs and fitting one to someone's needs. And the thing we like about, you know, the number of MAM vendors that we work with is that I don't think any of them really want to be in an environment where it's not the right fit. Because, frankly, you want it to be the right fit. You want to have a success story out of it. You don't want to be cramming a piece of software into a round hole with a square peg. And you know, so that's why we have you and a few others that we work with. But again, you know, we've talked a lot about what makes CatDV unique. But again, for someone from your perspective who's thinking about getting into this area, just again, what's that final point that you give about kind of what you really feel is differentiating you guys at this point?
So we've talked about CatDV's flexibility, its simplicity, the power in the automation and the workflow tools that we've got. One of the things we haven't really covered is kind of safety and security. So CatDV has been around for a long time, and we intend to be around for a lot longer. We're well-funded, and we're a successful product. When folks buy asset management, you know, there's a lot of products out there, and you want to be sure you're making the right one or backing the right one. So you know, with CatDV, it's a product that's been around for a long time. We have invested hugely in support in the last year. You know, I came on a trip a bit like this last year, and I didn't get overwhelmingly positive feedback about our support. So we worked with our big distributor out here, JB&A, to jointly fund a dedicated CatDV expert for first line support in the US. Well, it's West Coast, but in a US time zone. We've put better systems in place. We've hired back in the UK, and so we've turned all what was good support into what I think now is outstanding support. And I think that is, when you're making a big decision about putting an asset management system in place, you don't just need to have the cool bells and whistles. You need to be sure that it's from a company that's going to be around for a bit and isn't going to disappear. I mean, how many of them have, even including the big ones from Apple. And that if there are issues during your installation or as things go, that you can turn to some folks for help. And so I think I'd add that to the whole conversation as well.
No, I mean,
that's great.
You are making an investment in something that's going to change the way you work eventually, positively, you know, greater efficiency, open up whole new, you know, vehicles for your expression of video and the type of things that you can do to get it out there to your clients or whomever. But yeah, you're making a decision that can fundamentally change your organization. And who is your partner in that going to be? Yeah. And I think you say that very elegantly, Dave, and we would in no way question that. We've been working with you guys for almost a decade
for
now.
What it's worth, right?
Know.
You know, so there's
we need a cake.
We should.
We'll wait to the true 10-year anniversary. You know, I'll be a couple of years older, and you know, we'll do it upright.
But you know, it's great because you know, there's an instance where Chesapeake Systems, we've been basically alongside Cat TV through this growth, through sort of its infancy into a much more fully baked product, into now something that, you know, is having great new development put under it. That's I think that's great. It reflects on Chesapeake Systems really backing the right horse, I think, early on in the game.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I've busted out at a lot of meetings that story about meeting Rolf in the 10x10 at the hall, like to boost our own credibility at working with vendors that we recognize right. from an early point. There's something special about these guys.
And it's important from our perspective, too. So we're committed to the channel and selling through sophisticated dealers and resellers. And that's, okay, it's kind of easier for us to go through a channel to sell, but actually it's better for customers as well because, you know, half of a successful media asset management implementation is not which software you choose. There are other good products out there, you know. It's partly the advice you get from your advisors and resellers that can talk intelligently about workflow, that can understand customers' problems and then can put together solutions that fix those problems, is just what customers really need. I think CatDV and asset management fits really well into those conversations. But our perspective is that it needs that level of local, sophisticated understanding and engagement, probably over a long term, to really get inside a customer's skin and to work out what they need. And so that's why we deal with resellers such as yourselves and some of the best in the business, because we believe it gets our customers better implementations at the end of the day.
I swear to God, I don't have a gun out to his head right now.
And that's how you end a wonderful podcast.
There may have been some implied violence, but I mean, it was purely implied. Dave Clack, CEO of Squarebox, thank you so much for coming out today. This has been a very, very deep and sophisticated conversation, which we fully expected. And we just love having you guys and a partner as well, and expect it to be another 10 years.
Wonderful. It's a real pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Workflow Show. Tune in next time, and that will probably be our post-NAB wrap-up. So lots of fun stuff to report then.